the weather this week. We are in for what looks like a really spring-like week with a dash of winter. We're looking at a week where we could have severe storms and rain. It sounds like, well, what we expect, at least here in St. Louis, when we start to get close to spring. Something that comes with that is also the desire to be able to deal with the problems that come from storms. And so I've been hearing all kinds of commercials for generators saying, act now, get a generator. That way, if the power goes out when all these storms come, so we could have 40-mile-an-hour winds and ice and thunderstorms, get that generator right now, and that way you won't be without power. We want security, and those ads promise a form of security. Good evening, welcome to Steadfast. I'm so glad you're here tonight. And we're going to be thinking about security. But I can't promise to keep your power on. The Bible never promises to keep your power on. But it does promise something more. Because you know the challenge, even if you go and get that generator and you keep your power on, and that's not necessarily a bad idea. If you have the means to get one and you can keep your power on, and so you know you have air conditioning or heating when you need it, food doesn't spoil, that's not a bad thing. But what do we know about generators? Well, they need some kind of resource to run off of too. You need to put in diesel fuel, perhaps. And so if you run out of that, power is still going to go out. So even as we seek after the security in these ads reflect the anxiousness we get when we come to storm season. Oh, secure yourself, have this generator. They can't offer permanent security. They offer an additional degree of security. And that appeals to us because we want security. But scripture, well, it has something even better. It has security. It doesn't run out of fuel. And that's what we're seeing as we're exploring Psalm 9 and we're thinking about the King Who Cares, because the King Who Cares offers a security, a generator for our lives that will never run out. And as we go through the Psalms, we notice there's certain repeating themes about this, and we might say, well, it seems like the Psalms are just sort of repeating themselves. Why do they keep coming back to these? Well, because we keep facing uncertainty, whether it's uncertainty of the weather, or uncertainty at work, or uncertainty in our health, or uncertainty in who knows what else, and we yearn to know that there's something, a backup, a generator that can take care of it. Well, that's where we're going tonight. So let's go ahead and pray that God would help us to understand all the more how He is the true generator, the true source of security, and then we'll dig in. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to be people who understand how you are the one who provides true backup, but also the true primary energy? Lord, you aren't just a backup. With all the uncertainty we face, it's all the things we depend on that aren't you. Would you help us to understand that you are the source of our very first breath, our very last breath here on earth, but our life that goes into all eternity? You offer us hope for that eternity as we trust. Pray in Jesus' precious name. Let's go ahead and take a look at the first part of verse 7 of Psalm 9. That's where we start tonight. It says, but the Lord sits enthroned forever. When we think about the sort of security that, say, that commercial was trying to tell me about, if you go and you buy a generator, there's a starting point for when that security comes. Like, say you go and you order one right now. I don't know if there's a waiting list or not. Let's say you can get one and it's installed tomorrow. You get one mounted on the side of your house, it's wired into your home, it's going to automatically kick on if the power goes out. That sounds like it'd be a really neat thing to have. Let's say you have that. There's a starting point for when you have that security. But here's the other thing we know. Even if you stocked up on more diesel fuel or gasoline or whatever you need than you could ever use, and somehow you kept it all fresh, it was going to be good, there'd still be an end point to that security. And I'm not even talking about the end of our physical lives. There'd be an end point to that generator. It won't go on forever. It will wear out, needs maintenance, and even with proper maintenance, eventually it'll just get too old and too unreliable. And even as it's meant to be a backup, it would actually not be one anymore. But when we're talking about God and His reign, we're looking at the one whose promise of security, promise of support, promise of the source of all strength that we could ever hope for and ever need. It isn't just for a time that started at some point. We were talking in Sunday School Express last night about the nature of the Trinity and how the Son, yes, he comes into the world at a certain point, but the Son didn't come into existence at that point. Jesus has always existed. He was there with the Father in creation, doing the creative work. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always existed. And so when God guarantees something, we're not saying, well, if he'd been around longer, he'd know he couldn't really do this. Or, sure, he can do this, but how long can he keep it up? No, God's reign has no start, it has no end. And so one of the most important things we can understand as we see these repeating themes in the Psalms, it keeps driving it home. God is always there for us. He always has been. Before you and I even existed, God was there for us. And long after our last earthly breath, God will be there with us, for us. And if we trust in him, we'll dwell with him forever in his presence. And so what we see here is that there's a security in God's reign that we don't find in anything that we can count on. We simply can't. Even if it's super dependable, even if you got the best generator ever and it was built perfectly, there wasn't a single manufacturing defect in it, it could not offer that kind of security. But God does. God's reign has no start and no finish. And that means something else, too. God's not going to give up on his commitment to be the king. He's not going to decide, I've been king of the universe for a really long time. In fact, I made the universe. Kind of boring. Maybe I'll go do something else. Maybe I'll take off for the rest of eternity and lounge around and create some servants that amuse me or something. No, God, he reigned in the beginning. He'll reign for all eternity. He won't abdicate the throne. And importantly, not only will he not abdicate the throne, the reason we can say he'll reign forever is that also no one can take the throne away from him. Sure, there are those who think he can. Satan thought he could. He rebelled against God and has sought over history to find ways to somehow undermine God, thinking maybe, just maybe, he can get an edge. Satan believes he can trip up the plan of salvation in Jesus' ministry as he tempts Jesus. And I believe Satan was fully celebrating as Jesus went to the cross, thinking, I finally got him. Because Satan's delusional. Satan thinks he really can defeat. But he's wrong. God cannot be defeated. And no clever serpent, no earthly king, no power at all can change that. And so when we think, I want security, I'm not saying it's wrong again to go get that generator. I'm not saying it's wrong to do all kinds of wise things in life if we have the opportunity to provide momentary security, to, for example, take care of our families, to take care of things like the food that we've stocked. We don't want it to all spoil in a refrigerator when the power goes out. But we understand the limits of that, and we understand in that, as we're really yearning for security, what we really want to know is there security that will last? Is there something that will last the rest of eternity for us? God says, yes, it's right here. And no one, even the most godly men and women, the ones who share God's word and encourage us, none of them can provide that. And even to the extent they remind us of God's security, we better put our hope in that security of God's word and not in the person sharing it. I look at all the people musing and wondering and praying and worrying as we continue to hear the health reports on Pope Francis. And it's striking. It's kind of interesting as a Protestant approaching what we see with Pope Francis or any pope, because what do we know? Well, the Pope is Catholic, but the Pope speaks and people hear what that leader, the most visible leader speaking out of the Christian Church, has to say. And so we don't always agree with him, but we certainly know he has a very powerful voice. And certainly it's good for us to be praying for him, as we should pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ who are sick and in need of healing. But it also reminds us of something, and I watch this. Some people are excited. Ah, we'll have security. We don't like this pope. Maybe we'll get a different pope and we'll like him better. Others are afraid because they've put their security in this man who speaks of God's word. What happens if something happens? You see that sometimes with Protestant pastors too. It's not just a Catholic thing. I look at a lot of the big celebrity pastors, and as they age, people start to get worried. What happens to my favorite celebrity pastor? Something happens to him. There have been health watches I've been seeing over the last few months on John MacArthur, for example, as he goes in and out of the hospital, and people wonder, well, what's going to happen to him? And here's what we need to know. Whether it's a famous Protestant pastor or the Pope or a pastor at the church he grew up at or here at Little Hills, it doesn't matter who it is. What we need to understand is the security comes from God. He's the one that provides security. Because we need to know that there's security, and the only place we're going to find it, not going to be in anything other than God. Why are we looking for security? Why do we keep coming back to this? It's because we're uneasy. You know, a big storm's coming, you're uneasy about, well, it's going to blow my tree over, it's going to knock the power out, what's going to happen? If you're at work and you hear about jobs being cut, there's an insecurity. Am I going to be next? We hear about all the big global news and we think, is there war coming? Or is the war already started and we don't really even realize it yet? What's going to happen there? There's so many things that leave us uneasy, and each one of them, we want some kind of security. We look to earthly solutions, a political leader, a community leader, a new boss in our company, our own wisdom as we read self-help books, something that's going to provide us security and what we keep coming back to. There's only one who can. Psalms keep bringing us there. Whatever earthly problems the psalmist happens to be facing here, David is facing real enemies. But what does he say? I need a real solution. And that real solution, well, it's not just that I have a better army or I'm a better tactician against my enemies. No, the real solution is I understand who the real king is. I look to him, I have security. David looked to his wisest advisor. Well, that wise advisor someday would have a health watch. If David looks to his own wisdom, well, for one, David isn't going to live forever. And someday someone's going to figure out a way around even the most clever strategy that David might come up with. But no one's going to figure out a way around God and his power. Ever. That's what we need to remember. I love what John Wesley says as he reflects on this passage. He says, "Though cities and people may perish, yet the Lord abides forever, which is sufficient for the terror of his enemies. And the comfort of the church." When God tells us how powerful he is, it comes right back to the title of our series, The King Who Cares. He wants us to know how powerful he is because he wants us to know that he's good for his promises, that he will do what he said he will do. In a world where that doesn't always happen, in a world where even as we think about our own word, we often fail it, God says, I am here. I'm going to do exactly what I said. And it's critical, the next part of this passage, God's reign is uncompromisingly just. Take a look at verse 8. "And he judges the world with righteousness. He executes judgment on the nations with fairness." God isn't just the undefeatable king. God is undefeatable for righteousness. God's going to do for us and for the world is good. And that's what we need to hold on to here. Because, for example, if you get a generator that will never fail, but never actually powers your house, just runs outside, keeps running, works fine, it kicks on, but it isn't actually plugged into anything, it isn't actually doing anything to keep your heat on or your air conditioning on or your refrigerator running, it doesn't do any good, does it? And there could very conceivably be a king of the universe who cared nothing about us. Yes, you can't defeat him. Yes, he's always going to be in control. But is he going to do good? And the psalm takes us from, yes, God is in control, to yes, God is in power for good. He hasn't just retired to leisure. John Calvin, as he reflected on this passage, thought of the different mythologies of the Greek gods and how the gods were always looking for ways to relax. Things to be good for themselves. Sometimes the gods would deceive people, the mythology says, for their amusement, for their benefit, not people's, for the gods. God, the true God, the only God, he doesn't do that. He does what's good, he does it, and he does it with active caring right now. Doesn't mean everything's fixed right now, but he cares right now. Whatever you've been praying to him about, that prayer that just keeps coming, God, would you help me with this? I don't know what to do about this. I don't know how to solve this. I don't know where this is going. God hasn't let it go to voicemail, and someday when he gets done relaxing, he'll finally catch up. And yes, then he'll be powerful enough to do it. God cares right now. He is with you right now when you bring those prayers to him. And as we're sitting here together reading God's word, well, you're sitting, I'm standing. But as the case may be, he's with you. He's with me. He cares right now. Now the psalm goes on with this very strong language so that we understand there's a finality to it. God's righteousness will be fully understood and seen. It's not going to be forever that we question why it hasn't been solved yet. But David doesn't want us to feel like we're only looking somewhere in the distance, somewhere ahead, somewhere someday God will care. But to understand right now, God cares. And in the mystery of his divine counsel, he doesn't always do things exactly on the timing we want. But the care is there right now. That's the thing that we know. We don't have to wonder about it. God cares about you right now. So that care right now points forward to the reality of that care fully experienced in eternity. God isn't just a king for the sake of being a king. He's a king who cares, and a king who's going to do his care. I read about a leader named President Bao of Molossia. Do you know where Molossia is? I'll go get out your map, maybe. Try to find it. Well, you're going to have trouble if you try to find it, because Molossia is not going to show up in any of the big atlases. It's not going to show up on Google Maps, as far as I know, at least. And it's certainly not going to show up where you would think it would be, because it's going to show up right in the middle of another country. And in fact, if you're here in the United States, it's going to show up in the middle of your country, my country, because Molossia is what's known as a micronation. A micronation in Nevada. It's some man who bought a piece of land and declared that he was now the president of a nation. And so, President Ba, what does he do? Well, he sits in his little shack with a very impressive uniform on, and rules as a benevolent dictator his little land that has various people come and see it because it's amusing. The land has a currency that is not tied to the gold standard or some other thing like that. It's not tied to crypto. It's not high tech like that. It's tied to cookie dough. And it has a navy of kayaks. I think it's 30 acres. And here's the thing that, as I thought about this story, that strikes me. Is President Ba, probably butchering his name, is he a real president? Well, not really. But let's go ahead for a moment and say he really did have legitimacy to declare the micronation of Molossia. He really could. What's the other thing that we know? Well, he's not doing anything for anybody other than maybe amusing them. He doesn't have the power to do anything for anybody. Really, why is he doing this? Because it amuses him. He finds it interesting. And so for however long it will be interesting to him, it'll be Molossia. And if it makes you happy to go see a micronation for a period of time, however long that is, you can go to the land that has a currency based on cookie dough. But someday he'll die. Someday Molossia will be no more. And even while it exists, Molossia is never going to come to your rescue. Molossia is not going to take care of you if you have troubles. Molossia is not going to defend you against foreign invaders. Molossia might give you a key, I don't know. Sometimes I think we feel like God is sort of like President Ba of Molossia. That he's, yes, he has the title of king, but the crown on. But is he really doing anything? But every navy ever made is a pittance compared to God. All the wealth ever accumulated and all the treasuries of the world is a pittance to what belongs to God. And the longest span of leadership that any leader has ever been able to claim is a drop in the bucket compared to how long God will reign and has reigned, because he's reigned forever and ever and will forever. And he cares. Go into Molossia, you don't know if the self-proclaimed leader cares about you, and even if he does, it doesn't really ultimately mean all that. You know what? God cares about you. God cares about me, and that one who isn't just a figurehead, who isn't just doing something just to do it, just to amuse himself. He offers something way better than cookies, Way better than gold. Way better than a mighty navy to defend us. He offers us eternal life in his presence. And so, what does he call us to do? He calls us to understand that he is the wise king. Not like the serpent in the garden where he offered what looked like wisdom, but ultimately led away from him, away from God, away from eternal life. He's the wise king. And he calls us to the wisdom of knowing that we should follow him, that we should trust in him, because that's the wisdom that actually changes everything. Because when we understand that, when we actually have confidence in that, well, then we can do what the psalmists, as they wrote down these psalms, were doing too. Just patiently wait, knowing this truth, knowing who God is, and knowing that the one who isn't a figurehead, he's the God who is undefeatable, and the God who's undefeatable in righteousness. And the God who's undefeatable in righteousness, he's the God who cares. Pray. Father, would you help us to understand just how much you care for us? As we chase after things for amusement, for security, for happiness, for survival, would you remind us that the only true security, the only true peace, the only true happiness we will ever find is in you? Lord, we come to you not as those who are worthy, but unlike all the leaders of the world, you don't come looking for how we can earn our way to you. You invite us in our rags. You invite us in our weakness. You invite us in every misdeed that we have, and you give us the cloak of righteousness. You give us the breath of life. Help us to hold on to that. And in the areas where we are praying and we're wondering where are things going, would you help us remember that you care? And as we patiently wait, you are the God who sees through every good. Pray in Jesus' precious name. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. People need to know this. We live in a world of such uncertainty. Please help get the word out that the God of the universe cares about everyone who could ever load this video. If you would, give this a like or a share. You know how to do it. You know the drill. Just hit that like button, hit that share button, and it makes all the difference in the world. Also, if there's any way I can be praying for you, any way that we can be there for you as a church, you can always text us 833-356-4032, 833-356-4032, or leave a comment in the comments below. We can pray for each other, talk through things together. It's God who cares. He's the God who is with you each and every day. We're going to be thinking more about that on Wednesday. That's Ash Wednesday. I do hope that you'll join us. I want to update. We had a question last night. What are we doing about Ash Wednesday? Many of you, perhaps everyone here tonight, knows, and I thank you so much for your prayers that you've been praying alongside me as I've been recovering from a back injury. And right now, I can either lay down or stand up. It's really hard to get anywhere or do too much. And so, between that and then also seeing that we potentially have somewhere between severe storms and a wintry mix, just the whole thing, we've come to the conclusion that we are going to be online only for Ash Wednesday. It's not everything we were hoping. We were hoping to have the ability to share physical ashes for those who could arrive in person on Ash Wednesday. But here's the thing, it's not about the physical ashes. It's about coming before our God humbly. And so we're going to do that. And I hope you'll make a point. If you were planning to come in person, please make a point to come online. If you're were planning to come online anyway, well, please still make a point to come online. We'll be together at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And what we're going to be thinking about is how do we humble ourselves before God? How do we prepare our hearts to celebrate Easter? And how are we reminded in that this humility isn't a tearing down towards death, but a reminder of the life that God gives us. So I hope that you will join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Please let someone know. Maybe there's someone who would really like an Ash Wednesday service but can't get anywhere and has just given up. Let him or her know that we're going to have an Ash Wednesday service this Wednesday, 7 p.m. online only. Look forward to sharing that with you, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. In the meantime, have a wonderful and blessed week.